All right, well, welcome, welcome. Just like our future Vertical Church worship band. Did they do a good job? Give those kids a round of applause. You could definitely tell the ones who play drums someday and the ones who won't. But again, welcome to Vertical Church Milwaukee, and we're glad you're here this morning. And my name is Jesse Schmidt, and I'm the lead pastor here. And it's Christmas season. All right. Merry Christmas. That was lame. Let's try that again. Merry Christmas. And I hope you guys are building some traditions. We are right in the middle of our Advent season. We're going into our third Advent this morning. And as you can see, a lot of our kids are in here. And so we decided for Advent to bring them in because we want this to be a church body thing, a family thing. And so, you know, I encourage you as we do some of this Advent stuff that it wouldn't just stay here, but you would take it home and that you would use it with your roommates and with your families and with your friends. And don't just let it stay here, because we're talking about even, you know, in our songs that we're singing and things we're doing with kids and the message that we're preaching are very relevant. Talking to people about hope and what did we do last week? Faith and joy this week. Thanks, Micah. And faith this week. Next week, we're talking about love. But take this with you and use it to bless other people. But again, we're glad you're here with us. If you're visiting with us this morning, right after service, I would love to meet you along with my wife. We'd like to meet you right over our connections table. And we have a free gift we want to be able to give you and just to be able to tell you a little bit more about who we are as a church. Along with that, we want to keep connecting with you guys, and on the end of every row is our connection folder. If you could take that, open it up, fill it out, and pass it down, that gives us an opportunity, one, to know that you were here, but also on the bottom of that page is an area for prayer requests, and we want to be praying specifically for you. We believe that God's working in all of us, and he works in us through prayer, and so we want to be praying for you, and so write a prayer request on there, tear it off, put it in there. And that'll go off to our prayer team every week that will get prayed over. And then lastly, if you have been coming and you've come a few times and you're like, you know what, I do want to get all the, what's the next step? How can I be a part of this? Starting in January, we'll kick off our connection class again. And you can find that on our webpage at verticalchurchmilwaukee.org. But now the guys are going to come down and we're going to take our offering and I'm going to pray for that and pray for the rest of the service. So God, we come before you this morning and Lord, we just thank you for this Christmas season and this time of reminder. And Lord, we just thank you just for the opportunity to celebrate, to be joyful. God, that we can lift your name high in worship. God, that we can use our musical talents and but God, we also thank you that we can just be joyful in our life because of what you've done. And God, even as we're doing a lot of different things this Christmas season, Lord, we pray that you would be the one that's moving in our soul, Lord, that you would be the one that's giving us true everlasting joy. And as we come before you this morning, giving our tithes and our offerings, Lord, let us do it joyfully because of what you have done for us as a celebration. And God, as we open up your word, Lord, we ask that that would be a time where you grow each and every one of us. And God, we thank you that we can be here this morning together and just invite you here and work on all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so as the guys are taking the offering, we are, like I said, in our third theme of Advent, and we're covering the theme of joy. You can start flipping over to Psalms 16, but you know, we do Advent. Advent's kind of an interesting thing. You get, you know, you walk around Walmart or Target or Meijer or whatever you claim to follow. You go to that store and you see all of these different, even at Aldi. I was at Aldi the other day and I saw an Advent calendar. I saw a chocolate Advent calendar. Sometimes they're like a gift Advent calendar. If you go Google, there's a lot of different Advent calendars out there before. And most of the time, nobody really understands what Advent really is. They know it's leading up until Christmas. But the word Advent actually means the arrival. It means the arrival, and it was originally talking about the first Advent of Jesus when he arrived that first morning, or probably evening, in Bethlehem. And you know, all of the Old Testament was leading up to this point. They had been waiting for this arrival and the anticipation that we use to build for Christmas as we wrap presents and put them under the tree, as you do different holiday traditions. We went downtown with the Ledbetters yesterday and checked out some Christmas stuff, and we do these different things. It's building anticipation, getting up to this point. But originally that came from the Old Testament as they were waiting for the coming Messiah, waiting for what was prophesied, waiting and waiting and waiting until that moment when Jesus was born. That moment in Luke chapter 2 that we just read where the angel showed up. And right now, you and I, we live between the two Advents. We live after the birth of Christ, but he's also coming back again. And as we look back on the first arrival, as we celebrate Christmas in that Advent season and build that anticipation, we're building it because it's creating a longing in us for his second coming. And so that's why we celebrate Advent. We celebrate it to build our anticipation for his coming. So we've been going through the Old Testament, looking at the prophecies, talking about he is coming. We went into the very beginning at Genesis 3 when God was condemning Satan and he prophesied that he was going to send an offspring, Jesus, to crush the snake's head. And that brings hope even in the darkest of times. And we looked at Abraham last week and looked at his whole life and seeing the faith that moved Abraham in his greatest moment when his faith, his belief in God was counted to him as righteousness. But this morning, we're looking at the path to joy. The path to joy. You see, hope fills the soul. So we talked about the first week. Faith moves the soul. Joy delights the soul. Joy delights the soul. And, you know, we were created with a desire to find delight. Just read through this passage of Psalm 16, and it's all right there. You and I were created with a desire. A lot of people try to stifle that and say, well, you know, to die to self is to die to delight. No, that's not true. You and I were created with a desire to have a heart that's full of pleasure and full of delight, but that delight and that pleasure is put there so that we can find it in God. But when Satan came and when sin entered the world, that whole understanding was shattered, and now we look to find joy and delight in so many things that don't ever really satisfy. And we find a bunch of cheap joys. When ultimately God has put that in us so that we can find joy in him. Why? Well, God doesn't want a bunch of stoic worshipers. You know, like stiff. Well, I know I'm supposed to do. No, God doesn't want that. You know, I've used this analogy before, but I'm going to use it again. That's like giving my wife flowers because I have to. Like, that doesn't go over well. Like, Ashley, I know I'm supposed to give you these flowers. No! She wants flowers. She actually wants woodworking things. But she wants flowers because of my joy and delight that I find in her. And that's the same is true with God. God's given us a desire in our heart to find delight in him because he wants our worship to come from that. And so learning to find joy and delight in God is one of the greatest things you can do because God wants you to find pleasure. God wants you to find joy, but it's only in him. And if we're going to do that, we have to have a clear pathway to joy. We have to have a clear pathway to joy because we have a lot of different pathways to cheap joys. You know, every night I sit down and Ashley and I talk about a few things. Sometimes we'll watch a show. We're currently watching Nailed It on Netflix. I don't know why. It's kind of funny. But, you know, that's like a little, like, you know, that's a little bit of satisfaction there. And then sometimes, like, it's not quite this. I'm going to have a bowl of ice cream. Well, that's going to give me a little joy and delight. And I'll get a little bowl of ice cream. And then, you know, I'm going to have a little bit of cheese and crackers. Why? Because I want something. There's something in my soul that desires to enjoy, to find pleasure. And you and I, we have lots of pathways to find those things. But in everything outside of God, it comes to an end. And if we're going to find true joy and delight, we have to find a pathway that is to eternal joy. It has to be a pathway that we walk often, because all the other pathways, we walk all the time. And we have to learn to, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I want that. I want that. And we need to find a path to joy that's brought by God and a path to joy that David is showing us here in Psalm 16. And this needs to become the path that we walk often. Because in the moment, when your heart is desiring, when your soul is longing, it's going to go down the biggest path it sees. So we have to make this that path. We need our path to joy to be well-walked and well-worn. But what do we see here in Psalm 16? Well, the first thing you got to understand is the first and last verse. The first and last verse. Because in the first verse, David is going from a plea. Look at verse 1. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." David's not in a good place at this moment. He is longing for something. He wants something more. He says, Lord, preserve me. Preserve me. It's a plea. It's a cry out. But then when you look all the way down into verse 11 at the very end of the chapter, he says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You see, David is going from a plea to a possession. He's going from crying out to declaring. He's saying, "Lord, I have to find refuge in you," to, "Lord, you are all of my pleasure and joy." Well, how does he do that? He walks down a path. He walks down a path, and that's the path that we want to go to today. And so the first thing, I got 5 points today. Okay, so if I go like longer than 3 minutes on a point, someone start waving at me because I got to get through a lot of them. I have 5 points today, 5 markers, okay? And so we find the path to joy. The first one is in the Lord, is in the Lord. Look at verse 2. He says, I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you. David is immediately declaring to God God's authority over him and the fact that he has no good apart from God, that his whole identity is wrapped up in the person of God in him. If you look at your Bible, okay, you will see the first Lord is L-O-R-D, all capital, okay? That is Yahweh. That's the name that God has given himself. When you see the capital L-O-R-D, that means that's Yahweh right there. That is the name of God that he gave himself back when he talked to Moses. And so David is having an intimate conversation with the Lord. God, I am that I am, the name that he declared. But then you go to the next one. He says, "You are Lord." Okay, the O-R-D is small. Okay, that's actually not the same word. Because what is he saying? He's saying, "Lord, my God, you have all your Lord over me. You have all authority over me." He is saying, "I don't have anything out of my own. Everything I have is tied up in you. I cannot pull myself up by my bootstraps. My bootstraps aren't long enough. I need to find myself in you." And, you know, it's kind of like, it's an identity thing. It's an identity thing that we understand, that we can't understand ourselves outside of our relationship with God. When I go out to public events without my wife and kids, I have no identity whatsoever. Like I have 5 kids and my wife, and I'm so used to like being Jesse, that's dad, and Jesse, that's husband, and that's like, that's who I am. I'm a family. And then I go out by myself and I have no understanding of really who I am. I'm like really shy and awkward because it just doesn't make sense to me. It's not, you know, and that's how it should be with God. You see, you cannot find your identity in anything else other than the Lord himself. And your understanding of life should not come outside of God. And if we're going to find a path to joy, it starts with understanding that the only thing that you can go to is God. It starts with him. The understanding of God and ourselves helps start the path to joy because it keeps us looking in the right direction. God, outside of you, I have no good. I have to find myself in you. Then he goes on to the next one. Find the path to joy in the Lord's people. In the Lord's people. Look at verse 3. He says, As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Because the saints are God's people. The excellent ones are those who take God's moral standards and live by them. He's talking about God's people, the Lord's people. And David's saying, listen, I find delight in the Lord, but then I also find delight in the Lord's people. You know, we had a Christmas party a week ago Friday at our house that was just awesome. And it was so fun to be around people and spend time with people and build relationships with people who are on the same mission and same path with the same understanding that we have. God has created in us a desire to not be alone, but to be in his house with his people, and we find delight there. And that doesn't mean we don't spend time with people who aren't Christians. That doesn't mean we don't spend time with people outside of our church. Yes, all of those things are true. But it does mean that our deepest delight is found in the fellowship of one another, enjoying one another, building the connection with people where they really know you. Do you understand that we really desire to be known on our deepest point? We act like we're okay. We act like we don't need people. We act like our Facebook profile is exactly who we really are, and that's what we want people to know. But in reality, we really want people to know us. We have a deep desire for that. And David's saying, listen, I find delight in these people. But then he contrasts that in verse 4, and he says, and the sorrows of those who run after other gods shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. And that he's comparing and contrasting. He said, listen, the Lord's people, the holy ones, the excellent ones, you want to find your delight in them. But these people, they don't have the same understanding. If they're not followers of Jesus, they are worshiping other gods. They are worshiping the God of entertainment, the God of pleasure, the God of power, the God of money. They don't understand. And David's saying, listen, you can't, at your deepest extent, you cannot be a part of what they're doing. And again, that doesn't mean we don't spend time with, get to know, love on. But finding delight, it has to come from the Lord's people. You need to be known by the Lord's people. That's marker number two. Marker number three. Look at verse 5 and 6. The Lord is my chosen. Circle that. I'm going to come back to that, but circle that. The Lord is my, circle both of those words, my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Now, what David is doing is he's referring back to the history of Israel. Okay, at that time, you know, David had his kingdom and everything was there and they had already won it. But he is referring back to the promise that God made the people of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. So they multiplied in Egypt. God sent the 10 plagues. Pharaoh sent them out. The Red Sea, you know, opened up and then collapsed. And then they wander in the desert. And all these times, God's making promises to them. I'm going to give you a portion. I'm going to give you a lot. Your inheritance is going to be beautiful. So he's using the language from what he had originally given the Israelites, saying, listen, this is what you are going to, in the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. And when they took it over, he allotted, it says that the lines that have fallen for me in a pleasant place, that's the allotted lines that each family got when they came into the nation of Israel. But what David is saying is, Lord, the things that you have given me is good. The portion that you have given me is good. And he's saying, listen, I choose this. This isn't something that just happens naturally. We don't naturally become content with our chosen lot or portion. Because of sin, our heart is always longing for something more. Until we get to heaven, we will always have a longing in us for a sinful desire. And we are continually fighting that. And, God says that we are dead to our sin if you're a follower of Jesus, and so you are no longer bound by that sin, but you're still fighting against it. You're still desiring things that are unhealthy, and that will always keep us wanting more. David is saying, listen, but you are my chosen lot. I am choosing to find fulfillment in what you've given me because it's good. I am going to be content in the lines that you have drawn. But then I also know that I have a beautiful inheritance. This is a both and for David. He's looking at what he has, but he's also looking at what's coming. my lot and my inheritance, the thing that I have now, the chosen portion that God has given me, but also the inheritance that's coming, eternity. He said, I can find fulfillment and joy in the life that you have given me now, in the family that you have put me in the job that I currently have, in the position that God has allowed for your family right now. That's exactly where God wants you. And we are called to find contentment in that. I choose the Lord as my portion, the portion that he has put in front of me, because I believe in my beautiful inheritance. Last night as I was going over this, I was trying to come up with an analogy for this, and as stupid as this is, I'm sitting there like on my couch, okay, and kind of going over this, reading over this, thinking it through, and then at the same time, I'm looking at my Christmas tree. And so we bought a new house, you know, we moved from Rockford to here, and in our old house, we had a spot for our Christmas tree, and this year, we had to kind of figure it out and look around, and we didn't know the exact size that we could get, and we ended up buying a pretty small Christmas tree because we didn't know exactly what we could fit in the spot that we thought, so we wanted to try it out first. But I like a Christmas tree that, like, takes over your house. You're like, you walk in, it's like, boom! That's all for you kids who are laying down sleeping to wake you up. But, you know, I want a Christmas tree. You walk in, and that's the only light that you have to turn on because there's so many lights in that Christmas tree, and, like, the branches are falling out around the couches, and that's my style of the Christmas tree that we like. So maybe someday. But we bought a smaller one this year because we weren't exactly sure how we were going to fit or where we were going to put it. And I was sitting there looking at my Christmas tree, mourning the loss of my massive Christmas tree. I think, I should just go back and buy another one now that we know the size we have. And I know this is how stupid it was, 10 o'clock last night. And I'm sitting here and reading this passage, trying to figure out this understanding of how to be content, mourning the loss of my Christmas tree. And it's like, Jesse, you're an idiot. Why? It's the only Christmas tree, yes. But in that very moment, I was unable to enjoy that Christmas tree because I was just mourning the loss of my big Christmas tree. I couldn't choose the current lot that was in front of me. And so it kept me from enjoying this beautiful lit up Christmas tree that my wife decorated so perfectly. And and you know what? That's so true the rest of our life. There are so many things in your life and my life we can't enjoy because we don't decide to choose the lot that God has given us. The portion that God has put in front of us, discontentment steals our joy and separates us from God. It makes us forget our beautiful inheritance. We have to choose the Lord's portion, the job that he has, the family that he has for you, the community that God has put you in because of our beautiful inheritance. We find joy in the Lord's portion. Number four, we find joy in the Lord's instruction. We find joy in the Lord's instruction. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. I shall not be shaken. So what David is saying is, he's saying, listen, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. I am shouting out blessings to the Lord, the one who gives me counsel. Why do you say that twice? Because I want you to hear it. Okay, David is saying, listen, my counsel comes from God. I am instructed by the Lord. My understanding of life and how to interact with the world around me comes from God. And what he's saying is, he's saying that the Lord schools him. It's this idea that that when you read God's word, it is a facing the facts. So it's not just like some random book that we're reading or some random. No, it's facing the facts and understanding the truth. And that he goes on and he says, in the night also my heart instructs me. When you look at those two things together, what Paul is really saying is, or not Paul, why do I keep saying Paul? Somebody like say, Jesse, it's David. You're talking about David. what David is saying is that the Lord instructs me to the point where I have gone down this path so much. I have spent time in God's word. I have understood his truth. I have understood his promises. I have a clear pathway to God's instruction. When I'm in the night, okay, that night is a picture of a dark place. When I'm in the night, when I'm in a place where I can't see straight, this is a difficult situation in my life. I don't know exactly how I got here, whatever, you know, but I'm in a dark place. My heart instructs me. Okay. That means that in a hard time, in a difficult time, your instruction coming out of your soul, the thing that's going to move you to do things, is correct because it's been set or it's been under the teaching and counsel of God's word regularly. That you can trust your instincts, your soul instincts, your heart instincts, because it's been instructed by God's truth regularly. In those dark times, you know, a lot of times we think we're doing well and we have it all together and we think we have it figured out, and then a hard time comes and it's like my life just falls apart. My life just, I mean, it happens to me, it happens to you, it happens over and over and over again. And it's like, how did I get here? I don't know what to do. Okay, David's saying he doesn't do that. His heart doesn't do that because he's been instructed by God. The truth of God's word is what gives him understanding of this life. And in that moment, God says, listen, I still love you. I still love you. This is for your good and my glory. I'm putting you through this situation because I want you to understand me better. Here's the promises I have for you in Scripture. And you understand that I'm still good and that coming out of this, you will be far better. That's instructing our heart. When we get in those moments and we're able to think clearly because we've been counseled by God himself through God's word. And we find joy in the Lord's instruction. Because here's the thing. Joy isn't based upon yours and I's circumstances. Okay, kids, if you don't get the gift that you really want for Christmas, it shouldn't steal your joy. But I really want this. I understand. I really want some gifts too. But that shouldn't steal our joy. Our joy is in the promise of Jesus himself, that he died in our place on the cross so that my sin is no longer my sin, but it's paid for. And God sees me through the life of Jesus in perfection. And my hope and my faith is in what God has done, bringing me joy that's found in the eternity of heaven, not the current situation that I'm in. And so it allows us to find joy. See, joy is this thing where if everything else is stripped away, everything that, every identity aspect that you have, your job, your position, your hobbies, the things you do at school, take all of that away, your joy should still stand because of the truth of God. The Lord's instruction is the path to joy. He says, listen, it's set before me. I see it. I see it. We've been doing swimming lessons with our kids Tuesdays and Thursdays. I know we do swim lessons between Thanksgiving and Christmas, two nights a week. Okay, that was like a parenting fail. I'll learn from that mistake. But we are. We're doing it right now. And Isaiah has the last round of swim lessons. Don't worry. I still want you to learn to swim, Jaden. Just not in the middle of November and December. But Isaiah, my two-year-old, he's been taking swim lessons. I know, another one. Like, why does a two-year-old take swim lessons? I don't know. But we do. And so he sits, you know, so halfway through the swim lesson, he gets to jump off, and he jumps to me. And I set him up on the pool, and I sit in the water. And he sits there, and he kind of looks around, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. And it's not until I'm directly in front of him where he can see me, and my hands are right there to catch him, will he jump. And that's what he's saying. Listen. Says, I have the Lord set before me. We have set God right in front of me. His promises are right there because he is at my right hand. That is a place that you can grab easily. If you're left-handed, I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't apply to you. No, just kidding, it really does. But it's at my right hand. I can grab it easily. That was a reference to a sword, okay? That was a protection piece that you could go and grab quickly. And he's saying, listen, it's right here. It's in my right hand. And because of that, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. So the path to joy is through the Lord's instruction. And then lastly, the path to joy is in the celebration and resurrection. Is in the celebration of the resurrection. Okay, now here's something that you need to understand now. Now we're getting to the good part. That's all good, but this is one of my favorite parts. Verses 8 through 11 are quoted in Acts 2, 25 through 28. Write that down. Go back, study it this week. That'd be a great study looking between Acts and David and in Psalms, and it's a good, but it is a quote that is used, that Peter uses to talk about Jesus. To talk about Jesus. Because you see, when David is declaring these things about himself, he is also prophesying about Jesus. You see, this is a Christmas passage. We could use it as a Christmas passage because it's not just about David. It's pointing to the coming Messiah. It's pointing to the coming King. And this very truth that David talks about is the very truth that is about Jesus. And he says in verse 9, he says, therefore, because of what we've done, because we've started down this path of joy, we've been going in the right direction. Because of these things, my heart is glad. Man, I want a glad heart. My heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. That's not just a head rejoice. That's not just like a little bit of a, no, man, that's like when the Packers beat the Bears today. Woo! Maybe, probably not. But it's that rejoice that you can't contain. It's a moment where the truth so fills you that there is nothing stopping you. Mike's like, man, I wish Dad let me do that more often in church. It's that joy that just, my whole being rejoices, my flesh dwells secure. Why? Why? Verse 10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You see, David understood that God wasn't going to let his soul go to hell. David understood that when he died, that wasn't the end. Something else was coming, something better. And as he was prophesying about Jesus, that thing that was to come. The greatest fear of all humankind, death, is found its answer in Jesus. And David can say, this life doesn't really matter because I know when I die, I'm not going to stay dead. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Why can I rejoice in the darkest of times? Because I know the Messiah is coming. I know the promised one is on his way. And you and I, we get to look back on it from another perspective. You know, David knew that Jesus was coming. He knew that a salvation was coming. You and I know that salvation. We understand this passage is talking about Jesus, that when Jesus died, he didn't stay dead. God didn't abandon his soul to Sheol. He didn't let the Holy One see corruption, but on that third day, Jesus rose. And not just like rose to another life that he's going to do, no, but rose to eternal life, never dying. All the bad things coming undone, going into heaven to spend eternity in perfection with God, where every delight and every joy that he's ever desired. And God now, Jesus always had it perfect, but you and I, we don't. And when he rose in that moment, we can now have hope to spend eternity where every desire that we have ever had is perfectly fulfilled, never stopping, never ending. Every tear that we've shed, every pain that we've had is going to be gone. And that joy that ends when Christmas vacation gets over and you have to go back to work on that Monday or Tuesday morning and college football is done and your Christmas presents are all unwrapped and busted by now and every hope and dream that you had that was going to be fulfilled that wasn't fulfilled because it ended, yeah, that's not going to happen in heaven because it's for all eternity. And that's where real joy comes from, in a real celebration of the resurrection. And just like David, we need to celebrate that. We need to move in that. We need to not just think about our particular current situation and let it get us bogged down, but we have a resurrection coming that's far greater. That's far greater. David set his heart on the life to come. Jesus knew what was coming after death. We need to understand that this is the same thing that we need to do. Ultimate joy is found in the fact that he is coming back. That he is coming back. See, the path to joy, it's not hidden from us. The path to joy is right there. The path to ultimate joy is a path that you and I can walk down regularly. And this Christmas, my hope and my desire is that you start to turn away from some of those other cheap paths and cheap joys and start to work hard at clearing that path to joy that's ultimate and eternal. It takes work on our part. It takes us saying no to other joys and saying, yes, I want that joy. And it takes us continually day in and day out going down that path, working down that path. So that becomes the thing that we go down every day. That's the path that we follow. Every time our heart and our soul longs for more, wants delight, it goes down that path. So we got to work hard at finding joy in the Lord, finding our joy in the Lord and who he is. Outside of him, we are nothing. We have to work hard at finding delight in the Lord's people, building relationships where people actually know you. You have to work hard at finding and choosing the Lord's portion, the lot that God has laid out for you, and finding satisfaction in that while understanding the beautiful inheritance that's coming. You got to find joy in the Lord's instruction, spending time in God's word daily so that when the hard times come, the truth comes out of this and guides your soul. You got to find joy in the Lord's instruction or the Lord's celebration or the celebration of the Lord's resurrection. And the fact that God did come and died and rose again. And on a regular basis, you should be jumping for joy because you can't contain it. So the guys are going to come back down. We're going to sing a couple more songs. And this Christmas season, we've been responding every Sunday where we come down and we've written on our trees and we get to continually see the work that God is doing in different people and in our own soul. And, you know, writing things down, I've said this every week, writing things down is not magical. It doesn't do anything. You know, but what it does is say, no, I'm going to declare this. I really believe this in my life, and I'm just going to get up, and I'm going to do this. And I encourage you to do two things today. One, just take some time after service and come down and read this and just see the different work that God is doing in people's lives. And just see what God has done kind of throughout this season. But then two, I want us to come down here, and I want us to respond. And I want you to come down there and say, Lord, I need to stop walking down this path. This cheap joy. God, I'm finding joy in this stupid TV show, in this dumb sports team, in this stupid hobby, in this, in this, in this. I need to stop finding joy in this. And I will walk down your path of joy. And just go down and write that down and write that as a declaration to the Lord. Lord, I'm done with that. I want that. I want that path. And as you go home, kids, tell your parents, Mom, Dad, this is something that I want to find joy in. This is a path, Mom, Dad, that I don't want to walk down anymore. Call me on it. Tell your roommates. Tell somebody at work, what'd you do this weekend? Well, let me talk to you about the joy I was talking about at church today. And don't leave it here because we want to stop walking down those cheap joys and start walking to the path of eternal joy. God, we come before you. And God, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to worship you this morning and God, to learn about your joy. And God, we thank you that you have not abandoned us to Sheol. God, we thank you that you have not left us alone, but God, we can find an eternal joy that is in you. And God, even this Christmas season, as we're getting close and finalizing all of our presents details and getting our travel plans ready and God, doing all of these things, Lord, I pray that we would find a joy that causes us just to celebrate, just like that angel said, a great joy, for good news has come. And God, I pray that would happen because we've been going down the path of joy. Lord, working hard to clear away the debris that we let grow up in front of it. And God, I pray that we would get to that point from a plea to a possession where we can cry out, Lord, in your presence, there is a fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore because we've walked down that path. And God, we just thank you for that opportunity this morning. We just ask that you would get the rest of our worship.